Hello, everyone. Welcome again to another Word for Today with Ray. And before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, every day we have the opportunity to sit with you in your Word and to discover the things that you'd have us to know about you and your Son, Jesus, and your ways. And so today, Lord, I pray that you will prepare our hearts and minds to hear what you have for us and that you would bless us with your presence. As we study once again this book of Esther, we bless you and give you thanks for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. The title to today's lesson is Haman's Request, and it's taken from the book of Esther, chapter 7, and verse 7. As Esther answered the king's question as to her desire up to half the kingdom, he was stunned by her answer that Haman desired to kill both her and her people. The wicked one has been revealed, and Haman was named as the perpetrator. In chapter 7 and verse 7 of the book of Esther, we see the beginning of the king's response to Queen Esther's answer. We read, "And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden, and Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen. For he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king." Our verse begins, "And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden." If we use our imaginations, we can visualize King Ahasuerus getting so angry that he throws himself up from the table where they are dining and rushes briskly to his palace garden. Sometimes one of the best moves we can make when we're extremely angry is to get away from the situation for a few moments. And that is exactly what King Ahasuerus did. The verse goes on to say, "And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen. When Haman saw the king rise up, he did too." Haman knew he was just indicted for the wicked and evil plan to destroy not only the Jews, but also the king's wife. Haman's only hope at this point would be if Esther would somehow plead to the king on his behalf. Of course, this was very unlikely, and it was the only one Haman could rely upon. Haman sought for his life, and Esther was the only one who could give it to him now. Finally, the verse says, "For he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king." Haman knew the king was extremely upset, and he was intuitive enough to know that the king would probably kill him for his plot. When the king left the table, more than likely he had a determined look in his eye toward Haman, and Haman knew it. Haman perceived that there was evil determined against him, and now his only resource was to beg for his life. Oh, how the tables have turned. And Haman, who was once the big and chief person in the kingdom, was now the most embarrassed. Haman's wicked and evil plot, which was inspired by Mordecai, became the impetus for his own demise. If we place ourselves in the king's position, how would we respond? What if we were in Esther's position? How would we react now? What if we were in Haman's position? What would then be our next action? When we consider all the characters in this story, let us keep in mind that God is also involved, and the natural workings of people often display his marvelous handiwork. God was not going to allow this wicked Haman to destroy his plan for the Jews. And when Esther just happened to be in the most lovely woman and in the position of the most lovely woman of all Persia, God was already at work to save his people. If he does so in this story, perhaps he is doing so in our story as well. We can count on him. Next time, we'll observe the king's reaction intensifying, so read ahead and we shall join together then. Until tomorrow, there is more. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace as you continue to study his word in Jesus' name.